I'm sure you often wonder where I got the ability to irritate, annoy, bore, and occasionally amuse you. Well, I got it from my father, the late Tim Lennon. When he died in March 1990, I wrote the following for the parish newsletter. My father, Tim Lennon, first saw the light over Blackhill on the 17th of November, 1898. A waste not, want not man, he would probably be pleased that the bed in which he was born has survived and is still in working order, if you can describe a bed as being in working order. In the early days of this century, his first school days were spent in Lakin, where a Master Hickey taught. Tim left school aged 13 and took a job with a local farmer at £8 per year. He always reckoned that the farmer in question did a bit of chronometer adjusting, and consequently, he, Tim, was starting in the mornings long before the agreed time. After a lifetime of various jobs, from carrying 20 stone bags of wheat up a steep ladder in Cartons, North King Street in Dublin, to swinging a 56-pound sledgehammer in Ballynockan Quarry, he claimed his first year of employment with the Kilbeg farmer was the toughest. He did, however, stay for a second year. This time the annual remuneration was £13. As a teenager, he survived, apart from the 2 years with the farmer, the great flu and typhoid fever. He played no active part in Ireland's struggle for independence, nor did he ever claim to have had. But he had his stories about the period, like the morning in 1920 when he was walking to work on the Roundwood waterworks from his digs. He encountered a number of black and tans who had looted one or more premises. One of them offered him a drink from a five-naggin bottle of whisky. Tim took a slug and told the tan that he was on his way to work at a dangerous job in a tunnel. Greenwood's soldier then made him an offer that he found difficult to refuse. Pointing a gun at his head, he instructed him to drink. 22-year-old Tim didn't leave a drop in it. When the firearm was pointing in a more favourable direction, he took a shortcut back to his lodgings and bed. One can only assume that he was slightly hungover when he turned up for work the next morning. His knowledge of local history was legendary. His humour, dry, and his wit at times acid. On one occasion in 1974, when the Gardaí were making house-to-house inquiries into an art robbery at Roseborough House, they called on Tim. A detective asked him if he had seen anyone suspicious around, only to be told, "Every fucking one I see is suspicious." His family had two small holdings, one in Ballinahound, where they resided during the summer, and the other a winter retreat in Kilbeg. During the late 30s, 55 residential holdings, including the Lennons in Ballinahound, were evacuated to make way for the Liffey scheme, now known as the Blessington Lakes or the Poolafoca Reservoir. Tim was not pleased, to put it mildly. When the price offered for the land by the ESB was flatly refused by indignant landowners, it went to arbitration. The democracy of which Tim Lennon was not convinced. Years later, in an RTE interview, he was to say, "The arbitrator was the divil, and the court was in hell." The feeling of the local people was that it was back to the days of Cromwell, that they were evicted whether they were willing or not. There was no sheriff needed. The dam was built, and the water was the sheriff. On the 3rd of March, 1940, at 10 a.m. when the sluice gate was lowered at Pool of Fuca, part of Tim Lennon died. He refused to see any beauty in the Blessington Lake. To him, that which had dislocated his people and submerged Lachin Holy Well was the cursed pond. My mother became an invalid in 1957, and for almost 30 years he looked after her, mostly on his own. One of the many services he rendered to the local community over the years was, in the days when most people died at home, was the shaving and leaving out of the dead. He was a very religious man who had what seemed to be an unshakable faith in God. When saying his night prayers, he could be held praying for certain people and thereby fulfilling a promise he had made at their deathbed 30, 40 or 50 years before. In the spring of 1987, his health deteriorated and he felt he was near death. I think at that time, we said anything of importance that was left for us to say to each other. Later that year, after weeks of persuasion from almost all sections of the community, he agreed to go into hospital. On an August evening, he reluctantly left Kyleveg to become a long-stay patient in Baltinglass Hospital. Slowly, he went downhill. The sturdy, well-developed hands shrunk and moved involuntarily. Tobacco consumption was down for the first time. I calculated that he smoked about 3/4 of a ton of plug tobacco in his lifetime. A few months later, he began praying to God to take him, often asking, "Why is he leaving me so long?" About St. Patrick's Day, his condition got worse. His voice was barely audible. He was eating very little, and on hearing that he had lost interest in smoking, a neighbour suggested that his demise was imminent. About 9 a.m. on Monday, the 26th of March, a nurse observed that he was weak but breathing, much the same as he had been for days. A few moments later, prayers were answered. An era had come to an end. Another chapter of history was complete. Tim Lennon was dead. The 9 decades had been kind to that face that I was soon to see for the last time. It now wore a look of perfect peace. He was very expressed his aversion. He often expressed his aversion to change, sometimes pointing out that he would not allow such and such while he was alive. Do what you like when you leave me in Baltiboys. Baltiboys is our family graveyard. When the time came, the coffin was lowered, and leave him we did. As the cemetery gate, a local artist commented on the area. Picturesque and tranquil. A warm March sun shone on the still picture of inverted mountains that was the Blessington Lake. Would he, even in death, with the benefit of celestial omniscience, relent and see its beauty? Diversing mourners heard the soft thud of dry clay on the coffin lid. Mother Earth would consume the mortal remains of Tim Lennon, but not the values he left behind. Values which, like the golden thread of truth, will make those of us who are close to him feel uncomfortable when we stray too far from the path of righteousness. Values, ever stubborn, like Tim himself, which will let us know that we can't do what we like, even though we left him in Baltiboys.